Have you ever wondered about your true identity and purpose in life? The Apostle Peter gives you powerful insight into who you are as a believer. In a world filled with confusion about origins and meaning, Peter reminds you that your ancestry is rooted in the creative work of God. If you've ever questioned your purpose, stay tuned. You'll discover not only who you are, but also why you're here. Let's explore this amazing truth together.
I have read that genealogical studies have skyrocketed in the past few years. And today, people are searching websites that help them discover their ancestry. Get this, more than 1,000 searches are initiated online every 60 seconds of every single day. Millions of people are tracing their family tree. Frankly, they want to know where they came from. Have you ever thought about the fact that one of the benefits we have as believers is an inspired resource in genealogical studies? We even know the names of our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. And let me tell you, the human race today is experiencing incredible confusion and even despair because as they do their research, they're also neglecting or rejecting God's inspired account of our origin, our ancestry, and even our future. Here's why the world is disheartened today. When your past is disconnected from God's word, then not only is your past unknown, but your purpose in life is confusing, and your future becomes uncertain. The world today is asking, where did we come from? Who are we? Why are we here today? Well, let me tell you, for the believer, those answers are spelled out in God's inspired word. Your ancestry has its roots in the creative work of God. Your present life has purpose, and your future eternal life has certainty in the plan of God. Well, as we sail back today into 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle is going to fill in even more details regarding our purpose in life today. Now, first, Peter talks about growing up in Christ. Here in verse 2, he writes that we are to grow up, he says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Well, we're to grow up like an infant. Have you ever seen or heard a newborn baby longing for milk? Well, you're not going to sleep until that longing is satisfied. That's the picture here of a believer passionately longing for the milk of God's word. Now, if we're truly going to grow up in the faith, Peter says here in verse 1 that we're going to put away, he writes, all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. In other words, at some point, we're going to stop acting like little babies. We're going to make mature, deliberate choices regarding our behavior. And when we do, Peter writes, we can grow up into salvation. The verb here, grow up, is actually passive. He means that we are made to grow up. God is the one who brings the growth. We simply feed on his word and apply it to life. My twin boys used to long to grow taller. We measured their height on the frame of a doorway in the house, and their growth was never fast enough for them. But the truth was, they couldn't make themselves grow taller by sheer desire. I mean, they had to eat, and I'll tell you, they certainly did. Well, likewise, we can't make ourselves grow up spiritually. God builds that into us as we, he says here in verse 3, who have tasted that the Lord is good. In other words, we keep eating, we keep feeding on his word. So, who are you? Well, you're a child of God. What are you supposed to do in life? Grow up in Christ. And that's not all. Here Peter begins to speak about serving Christ. He describes Jesus here in verse 4 as a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. Well, now Peter's moving from the baby's nursery to a construction site. He uses a building metaphor here in verse 6. He's actually quoting Isaiah 28, verse 16. The Messiah, Jesus, is the chosen and precious cornerstone God is laying. The prophet declares that whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Well, then here in verse 7, Peter quotes from Psalm 118, verse 22, which says this, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Well, Peter goes on now to quote from another verse in Isaiah, this time from chapter 8 and verse 14, which describes this stone as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And let me tell you, to this day, unbelievers stumble over Jesus and outright reject him. He's not the Messiah. He's not the world leader one day. They're not looking for him. They don't want him. Peter writes here in verse 5 that we as believers happen to fit into this building program. He says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." So here's Peter's analogy. Just like Jesus, we are now called living stones. In other words, we've been given life through union with Christ. We've been added to this spiritual building, this spiritual house. Well, that's a reference to the church. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. Other passages tell us that he's also our high priest. Now follow this. Peter says here in verse 5 that every believer is part of a holy priesthood. That's important, by the way. This is a core Reformation doctrine. We call it the individual priesthood of the believer. And what that means is that you, as a Christian, are serving today as a priest under the Lord's direction. What that means is that you have direct access to the throne room of heaven today. You know, millions of people today go to a guru or a spiritual leader or a priest to confess their sins. Well, the Apostle Peter says right here that every believer is a priest. You can have your sins forgiven immediately. Why? Because you can talk to God directly as you confess your sins through Jesus Christ, your mediator. Well, what a wonderful doctrine this is. Take advantage of it. Talk to the Lord. Confess quickly your sin. Well, now Peter writes also here that as priests, we can offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, Peter doesn't enumerate, you know, for us what these spiritual sacrifices are, but other passages do. The New Testament speaks of an offering of trust and faith, Philippians 2:17, offerings to God of financial gifts, Philippians 4:18, the giving of our own bodies as living sacrifices, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and even the sacrifice of praise and worship, Hebrews 13, verse 15. So, who are you? Well, you've not only been created by God, you're a priest as a believer in a spiritual house made up of all the other believers. And why are you here? Well, you're here to not only grow up in Christ by studying his word, but to offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. So, we're to be growing in Christ and serving Christ. Well, now with that, Peter calls us to be proclaiming Christ. Here in verse 9, he begins by reminding us of who we are. He says, "We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Let me tell you, that's an amazing description of who you are and to whom you belong. And to this, Peter adds, well, why you're here right now. He adds, so that you might proclaim God's excellencies to the world today. This word for excellencies refers not only to God's attributes, but also his abilities. He does mighty work. So we're effectively making God famous in the world by proclaiming his excellent work of salvation, which Peter writes here, brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And that means out of confusion, out of the confusion of our ancestry, our origin, out of the speculations of where we came from, out of the darkness of sin, out of the speculations of where we're going to go, he brought us into his marvelous light. So today, let's live up to our wonderful ancestry and our wonderful occupation as priests. And what happens when we do? Well, Peter gives us the answer here now in verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, that is unbelievers, honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Peter writes, keep your conduct honorable. The Greek word means noble. You could translate it beautiful, even attractive. Your attractive, noble life silences the reality of accusations from unbelievers, even though they may give them, they're not real. Your life becomes an attractive testimony to the great God you serve. Peter writes that people might be drawn to the Lord and glorify him when he visits them. That's a reference to them, those unbelievers, being saved by Christ. This is a reminder, beloved, that people are watching us today. The question is, do they see something in us that's attractive, something that they would want for themselves, something they know they're missing? Or do they see people who are as, you know, just as confused as they are, forgetting where they came from, not knowing where they're going and to whom they ultimately belong? Let's make sure by the way we live before them that they see the excellencies of our great God. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. This lesson is called Discovering Our Ancestry. Sign up for Friends of Wisdom and get free resources from Stephen. Each Tuesday, you'll receive an email with encouragement, answers to Bible questions, or insights into applying God's Word. You'll also get two free booklets, Blessed Assurance and The Coming Tribulation. Visit wisdomonline.org/friends and join today. Then join us here next time.